Hey everybody, it's Gerard. On today's show, Coach Thorpe and I talk about the Cavaliers outlasting the Orlando Magic in a great seven-game series. Donovan Mitchell was brilliant. What happens now for the Magic going forward? They have a great defense, but not much in the way of offense. And the Cleveland now has a chance to go play the Boston Celtics in the next round. Do they have a chance of advancing past that round? Then we have a throwback series, Knicks versus Pacers. Are the Pacers mature enough to beat the Knicks? Will the Knicks run out of energy and Tibbs playing his guys heavy, heavy minutes? And then the Timberwolves are up 1-0 on the defending champions. Is it time to worry about Denver, the defending champions? Jamal Murray's got some health concerns, and the Timberwolves just look too young, too long, too athletic, and too deep. We mentioned the Cavaliers-Celtics. Do the Cavs have a chance? And in one of the other great series of this Eastern Conference semifinal round, Mavericks and Thunder. Kyrie and Luka are a brilliant 1-2 combination. Can the Thunder continue to defend well enough and make enough shots? And what are Chet Holmgren's specific challenges in this series? As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends. Enjoy the show. Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
All is well. How are you?
Good. David, We saw some great playoff action. Kudos, by the way, to the Pacers, who eliminated those Bucks. You know, I felt about how certain teams handled the end of their regular season. Milwaukee sitting guys because they wanted to get Indiana. Well, good. You got Indiana. Now you lost. Congratulations. Cleveland did the same. They sat and they went to seven, but ultimately won because they have a competent player who can play offense, and Donovan Mitchell and the Magic do not.
No, that's not true. The Magic didn't have one that could last through four quarters. Because in the first half, Howard did a pretty good Donovan Mitchell impression.
He was very good. And kudos to the Orlando Magic. Because, again, forget about – no one thought they'd be this good regular season-wise. No one thought they'd even get to the playoffs. And, okay, you figure young team in the playoffs against Mitchell, a proven playoff guy, they'll get smoked. They could have won this series. They were up double digits at halftime of Game 7 on the road. So,
I think they were up in Game 5.
Yes.
Yeah, they absolutely could have won the series. They didn't.
So they are a talented defensive team and a team to watch for sure. We'll see what they do going forward with their management. So let's start there, David, in that seven-game series. You know, Donovan Mitchell is someone who you often rave about just his brilliance, right? I mean, he's just a brilliant, brilliant basketball player. And in that third quarter specifically, you were talking about a disposition to dominate. I thought that I don't like using terms like a switch flick or anything, any stuff like that. But there was a moment where I was watching his face and like, it just seemed like he's like, all right, time for me to amp things up right now. And he just did. He was a nightmare to stay in front of, got to the rim, got fouls drawn, got to the free throw line. Darius Garland was struggling in that game. And he did one of your favorite things, which is give royal jelly to his teammate. Was like, hey man, I'm going to you again. I don't care if you miss it, shoot it. Like, and just loving him up and like giving him confidence. Mitchell's a special player, and that was a special performance last night.
I have no idea what he said to Darius. It was clear he was connecting with him and giving him some wisdom, giving some guidance, or giving him just some love. Mm-hmm. And Darius had 7 points in a key part of the fourth quarter. I think, 3-2 and two free throws after having a miserable game. And, he's a superstar. Donovan's a superstar, man. His bucket-getting skill is as good as it gets as guards. I mean, Jalen Brunson does it differently, but I'm telling you, if you put Donovan Mitchell on the Knicks in place of Jalen Brunson and let him dribble as much as Jalen Brunson dribbles, I have no idea that he can't do something similar. They're both It's a talent. It's a credit to Jalen that he's now in the same breath as Donovan, or even breathier
this season. Yeah.
The team is better, but Donovan is just a tremendous, tremendous competitor and tremendous player. And if they were to lose him and not replace him with something similar, which is very hard to do, they're going to be worse because he's just that kind of talent.
Yeah. No. He was incredible. the switch he was able to, or the level of ferocity he was able to play with, his disposition to want to control the action, get to the, again, just get to the rim. And he's so strong, David. He's also quick, and then he's a strong dude. So when he gets by you, it's not like you can, you're kind of bouncing off him because he's built like a tank. It's like, oh man, this guy's like, he's the real deal. And look, we'll get to this series in a minute. Cleveland will need every bit of his awesomeness if they have any chance of beating Boston in this round. And they only have the Jared Allen injury. I don't know when, what the prognosis for him coming back. That's going to matter for them for sure. But yeah, look, gutsy win, big time win by Cleveland in that series, and kudos to them. You mentioned the Magic. We don't know what they're going to do going forward. Something happened at the end of the game that was like, oh, David probably loves this. Jalen Suggs, who defended his ass. I mean, not just in the series, all season long. I mean, he made our all defensive team. He's crying after the game because you saw how much winning mattered to him. And I'm like, ooh, I bet David loves this. Like when it matters this much to guys.
Yeah. I told you guys this morning that my son and I were together this weekend watching our daughter, his sister and my daughter graduate from college. And by the way, that's not an easy sentence to say out loud. Like I sent my kids a picture the other day of my wife and I when I was 23. I just turned 23 and she was still 19. Like, how do we have kids that are now both graduating college and my son's about to get his first master's? What the fuck is that? What happened?
Time.
Like, yeah, yeah. I want to call time out many times. So anyway, Max was telling me after the Clippers lost to he and I watched the Clippers Mavericks game 6. Mm-hmm. But my wife and daughter were there and at the bar we were at and in Orlando. And I just didn't notice Terrence Mann crying. And Max said, I think he was crying, but he covered his head with a towel. And Max knows Terrence through mutual friends and both played at Florida State. And so, yeah, I love that shit. I just love, you know, I love that level of caring as professionals because it's as much as it's about the money, it's not just about the money for some players. And I think that's really the key. The key distinction there is I don't care if you don't cry. I care that you care. And if it turns out it brings tears, I mean, I didn't expect to cry at the beginning of my daughter's graduation, but I did a few times. The key is caring, and then your body's going to react the way it reacts. But right. If I'm Orlando, I'm very pleased at how the season went down. I give Jamal an immediate, if he hasn't already got an extension, he gets one. If Jason Kidd gets an extension, this guy deserves to get one. He doesn't have Kyrie or Luka.
Right.
And then having a guy like Suggs, who is a charismatic leader, he's a young, I think he's 23, 22, mm-hmm. young guy. They're on solid footing going forward, that's for sure, with a cap number that allows them to make some moves.
David, they're 29th in payroll. I mean, that's second to last. Like they have plenty of space.
That doesn't mean that they'll be any higher if the ownership just want to spend the money.
Correct.
It means they can. It means they can. Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, and look, and they made some had two draft picks in the top 11 last year, and neither one of those players contributed in the postseason.
Right.
So the question is, can they develop those guys because they drafted them there for a reason? They have talent. I know we were a fan of
Anthony Black.
All right, so. What do they do with him? That'll be curious. And again, they have money. They have draft capital, right? Like
they need a point guard. Mm-hmm. They need a point guard to play with Suggs. Suggs can guard up, which is good. And he can guard down also. So they can find different ones. Fultz played well yesterday. He's probably not their long-term starter, it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. Anthony Black, I think they hope is, and that's a really dynamic combination because of Black's size, tall, you know, 6'7" maybe. Him and Suggs together can be dynamic, but he's just nowhere close to being that guy. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to trade Black for a ready to play point guard right now? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are they going to let him develop the way OKC has let their guys develop? Maybe.
Right.
But do they go get Tyus Jones? It won't cost them Anthony Black to get Tyus Jones.
Right.
It might cost them some other good players. It will cost them something and maybe some picks. They've got some options and opportunities, and we're just going to have to wait and see what they do.
You know, I was just thinking about a player who, I mean, well, this player can help anybody, obviously. But again, I don't know if it would the mechanics work and would they do it, et cetera. But just play the exercise with me. what would Donovan Mitchell look like on the Orlando Magic?
Oh, geez. They're top three in the East for sure.
I think you're right.
With that, with the, they have the players to rally around his defensive liabilities. It gives them a core offensive player that becomes the central core, allowing Paolo to be a secondary scorer, which right now is probably where he's at. He was amazing in the first half of game seven, I think 24 points. He doesn't shoot well from anywhere right now, not mid-range, not at the rim, and not from three. He can really pass. He's a very gifted player. It's going to take some time. Donovan changes the but I don't know that they're willing to do that.
Because
all of a sudden, the clock is ticking.
Correct.
Right? That's what OKC was unwilling to do, and now they have no choice. So, yeah, that's an interesting name. I would love to see it.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. All right, David, tonight we have the kickoff, tip-off of the Knicks-Pacers series. A little old-school rivalry, taking it back to the 90s. And the
and just a few years ago when Jalen played for Rick.
Correct. Listen, there's so many subplots here. So much going on.
Yeah. OG versus Siakam, too.
Let's just start with this question, and you'll know what I mean when I phrase it like this. Are the Pacers mature enough to beat the Knicks?
We'll find out. If I had an eight ball, I would guess the eight ball would say doesn't look great or whatever. There was the future is cloudy. They've not shown to me. I mean, they won three or four. They won four or five against the Bucks, and they dominated the Bucks when Damian played. As it turns out, I think I told you guys this morning, his offensive rating was like 110. His defense was 122. Like they murdered him when he was on the court. It was a net negative. Big net negative, like huge net negative. They had one slip up. They were really bad in game five on the road, and they were really bad in game one. They could afford to go down 1-0 to the Knicks. Just the margin for error is smaller. This is a significantly superior team, even without Julius Randle. New York is compared to Milwaukee. And you would think they've learned. We were commenting on our call today that they were celebrating too much earlier in the series. I thought game six, they were pretty locked in and didn't celebrate at all afterwards. Not at all. Not that I saw and not that I've heard. And so that's a step in the right direction. But yeah, this is, they were getting tickled to death with feathers against the Bucks. They're fighting haymakers now, you know? They're fighting haymakers.
And the Knicks are significantly, in my estimation, mentally tougher, more mentally tough than the Milwaukee Bucks are. And they'll go down 10, and they're not going to wilt or fold. They're going to keep coming at you, keep being keep playing tough.
Let's be really specific. When you say keep coming at you, it's one guy.
Yes,
Jalen Brunson. Everyone's okay with it. It's Jalen Brunson. And if we're not sure yet with 4 seconds left on the clock, hey, Jalen, come get the ball.
Yes.
It's just chase the ball all the time. He's second in the league, first in the East in dribbles. It is a steady diet, nonstop of Jalen Brunson. And he is indefatigable. And so the team has kind of followed in that. There is a Villanova toughness aspect to it. Hartenstein, how do you say his name?
Hartenstein.
Fucking great. Monster. Mitchell Robinson, tough.
Josh Hart, rebounding, at 6'4", rebounding machine.
Yeah, and the Pacers are a great defensive rebounding team. So there's concerns there. It's going to be a nonstop Jalen Brunson show. And the only thing that gives me some pause is his minutes.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that. Here's a question I have for you. So Andrew Nembhard was phenomenal. Look, Damian Lillard is who he is, and he's hard to stop. But he's a different player than Brunson.
Very.
Right? Andrew can kind of out-muscle Dame. Not sure he can out-muscle Jalen.
So I would look at it this way. Dame is an outside-in attacker. And Andrew's speed at closing to contest shooting and denying are elite for a second-year player, especially. Brunson is, you can't deny Brunson. It's just, there's too many DHOs coming. And Andrew's, you know, people say he's long. He's not long. He's long for his position because he's 6'5 and he's a point guard. He's playing the two, but he's a point guard. He'll be defending the point. But I'm telling you, he's not like a 6'9 wingspan. He's super fast, super quick, super strong, super smart, super tough. I don't know that that means a lot to Brunson, given how many shots he'll get every game. Do I think they can wear him down? Yes. Do I think they will? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Andrew's relentlessness and physicality. And then they've got Nesmith, who's just been playing hurt a little bit. You can tell. Mm-hmm. Even Siakam. Brunson is not great against bigs.
No.
And ISO. Mm-hmm. He has not been elite at all in that situation. So I could see Siakam switching out him some. They'll have some challenges to that because of Brunson's ability to fake. They've got to stay down on it. But there's a chance if Indiana can win some games early and make it a 6 or 7 game series, Brunson could potentially run out of some gas. Yeah. There are some extra days, I think, in between some of the games late. That plays in New York's favor.
Later in the series. Early, it's every other day of the first like three or four games, I think.
Correct.
So you made that point. Look, I love what the Knicks are doing. Love their toughness. God, Tibbs is playing those main seven guys, 40-plus minutes a night. And against a team like Indiana, who plays with pace. Now, however, they're not able to play with pace all the time for a variety of reasons, right? It's the playoffs. They themselves are physically tired as well. So they're not at the same level they were in like October, November, December, zipping all over the place. But given all of that, is that something that Rick would emphasize and try to do more of? Get off, and it starts with their defense, right? Get a stop and just get out there and start running and wearing down the Knicks. The Knicks don't want to get into an up and down game at all.
In talking to some people in Indiana with the team, they understand rebounding is everything. They saw the Sixers get demolished on the glass.
Demolished.
Yeah, Indiana has some challenges with that. You can't run without rebounding anyway, although they do push after maids, and they probably will. The way to slow Indiana down some requires energy that I don't think New York wants to spend. So I think they'll get to running some. New York has to shoot well to slow them down a little bit. They may not. And the games they don't, that's a big advantage to Indiana. I think they can get into that fatigue. I think Indiana's bench, I mean, TJ McConnell was amazing one game. They won. Mm-hmm. Obi Toppin was amazing in a game. They won. Siakam was amazing in game two. They won. Mm-hmm. Tyrese was amazing in one game. They won. Like, there you go.
Yep.
Like they've got like it's a talented team. They're more talented 1 through 9 for sure.
Correct.
If you stack that all up, the Anunoby Siakam combination is interesting. Those guys were like brothers
teammates. So let's talk about some of the subplots. What do we think about that matchup? I mean, OG might get on Pascal some, right? Because he got some knowledge there. What do we think about that subplot?
I don't know if OG will guard him a lot. I don't think he can guard him great. The way that Siakam can score over him is going to be an issue. I don't know they need to put him on Tyrese because I don't know that Tyrese can generate scoring one-on-one. But if he can, because he's been struggling with that, if he can, then I could see OG going at him because I think they'll end up doubling Siakam more. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna see what Milwaukee did, which is don't let Siakam beat us and we got ourselves a fighting shot. As the playoffs have evolved to the next round, there's more pressure, more stress. Maybe some of these guys won't play as well. That could be an opportunity. If OG is on Siakam, they'll have to double, I think, some.
Yep.
And they're fine with that. They crunch the paint down and then chase out shooters really well. That's why the transition game is so important, I think. And they can't get in foul trouble in New York. And Indiana, at that pace they play, and if Siakam asserts himself and Tyrese asserts himself, they can draw some fouls. I think the real key for Indiana is how Miles Turner plays. Mm-hmm. Miles Turner's got to rebound. He's got to finish at the rim. And then he can very capable 3-point shooter. Didn't do well in game 6, but they won and he played fine. He just didn't shoot great. But they need all hands on deck to beat New York.
Yeah. Miles Turner shooting threes and shooting it well, drawing Hartenstein or Robinson, who don't want to be there, out away from the paint, allows rebounding for you on the back end, right?
Correct. They'll put the center on Siakam.
Okay.
Who also can really shoot the corner three very well. And so that's one thing he's got to do is leak out to those corners to drag whoever the big's on, they've got to drag them out.
So the three ball, as often is the case, is going to be very, very pivotal in this series. You mentioned that Indiana plays they have a rotation, they play their bench. Tibbs does not. Obi Toppin. So we talked about interesting subplots. This is I don't want to call
another one
a revenge series, but whatever. Obi going back to New York, you talk to these guys and these players, as do I. Like, they may say whatever. It's going to mean something for him going back to New York, playing a team that gave up on him. Like, I'm playing for these guys and they trust in me. I'm going to go at these people now. I can see that. The Obi having a nice game.
I mean, you shouldn't need extra motivation.
Correct. But in the playoffs, but
you're not
especially.
Wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong. I think that's a factor. Just like I don't think Jalen Brunson loves Rick Carlisle. I don't even remember anymore how Jalen played under Rick. Mm-hmm. I know this. Whatever path was started there, the path is a good path. Jalen Brunson's an MVP level player now. So, and who knows? You know, I think he was always kind of going to New York anyway with Leon and mm-hmm. his dad.
And his dad.
But yeah, there's no question that that there might be, you know, certain things in Brunson's mind. But to be fair, Jalen Brunson hates the world. Do you know? Do you get the impression he's got, you know, warm feelings for anyone on the other team? No.
He know what he seems like, David? Your classic. When he's off the floor and just like doing like the nicest dude you'll want to spend time with and whatever. But in between those lines, a killer. Like, I don't care. I'm here. And I mean, that's what you want out of a guy like that. And I also feel like there's a bit of that, you know, nobody believed in me kind of thing. I'm a little dude. Everybody thinks I'm not going to be great. Like, I'll show you motherfuckers. Like, there's a whole lot of that built up into that 5'11", maybe 6 foot body.
Did I ever tell you of my favorite ever t-shirt that I have that I've never worn publicly? Because I'm just not brave enough to do it. I also don't want to go to jail. So there's a movie called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two versions. There's the original version in Europe. I think maybe Sweden or Switzerland, I forget. And then there's the American version. I saw my wife read the books, loved the European version. We saw the movie and we went with friends of ours. And one of the main characters, the girl with the dragon tattoo, is I think she's on the spectrum and she's tough as nails. Do you ever see the movie?
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm very familiar.
I could not recommend it more highly. Okay. It's really a special thriller and it's a phenomenal tale. It really is. So anyway, in one of the scenes of the movie, this girl on the spectrum, who's crazy brilliant, by the way, she has a shirt that says, "Fuck you, you fucking fuck." And I think I muttered to myself, my friend Mandy, whose husband Charlie, we're great friends. Mandy was sitting next to me at the movie theater, and I must have muttered like, "Oh, I gotta get that shirt." And for Father's Day or maybe my birthday, she got me that shirt. Nice. I've always said I could wear it in Vegas. It's one place I could wear it, but I'm not sure I can, so I never wore it. I think Jalen Brunson should have that shirt. Fuck you, you fucking fuck. You don't think I could just score on you because I'm little? Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that dude is, there's nothing but volcanic ash and blood and fucking lava in that body, man. He just breathes fire all the time. And just when you think he's staggering, he's Joe Frazier. He just never, never stops.
Yeah.
And Thibodeau will run him right to the ground. We know
And the team, David, has embodied that, right? In that game to win against the closeout against the Sixers, they were up, had a huge lead. And then gave it all back and could have easily been like, you know, like, and it was in Philly, crowd turning, you know, rising momentum, all that. They could have easily folded. I'm like, nah, not this team, man. They'll be just fine.
No.
Chip away, stop, score. It's like, oh, they just.
No, because it's him. Chase, go get, pick and roll, go get. It just never stops.
Yeah.
And they just play around him. Yeah. He carries it offensively.
There is a skill, David, to relentlessness on either end of the floor. How do you coach that in guys? Especially at this time of the year. It's hard to be relentless right now. It's May. I'm exhausted. I played 82 games. Not 82, whatever. I played a ton of regular season games. I had the whole playoffs, and we got more rounds to go. Relentlessness is very difficult right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. Experience helps. It is my strong opinion that when I'm training players, my rookies tire out much more quickly than my older guys do. You might find that to be surprising, but it's the case. They don't know how to push themselves. When they're out of gas, they're tapping out, you know? Mm-hmm. The veterans kind of know how to push themselves more. Maybe they're training better too because they know they have to. It can be taught. I'm sure some of it's bred. I'm sure, you know, and it comes in different forms, to be honest. Yes. Mm-hmm. You can't say to my son or daughter, hey, you got to get up at 4 and get somewhere and have them think, oh my God. No, they've been doing that shit their whole lives. I didn't wake my kids up when it was time to go to an event. It's their event.
Right.
I'm happy to sleep in. If you don't have the ability, what by the age of 10, right. to wake yourself up, why am I going to do it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going right back to bed. That never happened. Their asses were up. But there's a different realist that you're talking about. I heard someone talking about how Rick Brunson raised Jalen. Mm-hmm. And so I just think, and you know, we know Jamal Murray's story. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have an overbearing dad. That's for sure. That's for sure. You do have to have a love for it. And he's got it, you know, and yes. Thibodeau, he didn't teach him it. He's taking advantage of it.
Yes. 100%. All right, guys, we'll be back after a brief commercial break. Okay, David, I'm going to be hyperbolic right now.
Okay.
Is it time to worry about the defending champions? They are down 1-0. To the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Probably time before game one, given Jamal's knee.
Oh, yeah. I think we'll get to that. Calf.
He had a good second half. Mm-hmm. He had a good second half.
Yeah.
Naz Reid banked in a three. Jokic had a couple of surprising turnover. They did a good job defending him, but they're champs for a reason. They'll have some counters and, Minnesota now has to play with the lead in the series against as an underdog. Mm-hmm. That's a new pressure.
Yeah, very right? different.
I think it's going to be a great series. Yeah, I definitely, if I'm Denver, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I'm not confident.
So a lot has been made because remember, as everyone knows, Tim Connelly is the GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was the GM of the Nuggets who... A lot has been made about the Wolves were specifically designed to take down the Nuggets. Now, what I want to know is from a basketball standpoint, they have 3 7-footers on their squad that they can toss out there. And
well, not in 7 feet.
He's 6'11".
No, I think 6'9". They have three big guys that play a lot.
Okay. Three bigs that play a lot, which is abnormal in today's NBA.
That's correct. That's correct.
So now, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world, can solve anything. That being said, how much of a different challenge is this for him than a traditional team they play? Oh, we got Embiid. It's 1 7-footer I have to worry about. I got my counters. It's about the relentlessness of having multiple bigs to deal with on the floor.
I mean, it's definitely a factor. And they're all different. Reed actually is probably the most balanced of the three in terms of inside and outside
offense,
scoring.
Defense,
and then offense, defense too. Yeah, Cat more offense, Corbett defense. It's an interesting mixture. Mm-hmm. I don't at all think they were built to beat the Nuggets. I think they were built to beat everybody. We wrote an article when they did the trade, and I wrote it's sacrificing a lot. Well, in the story, there's a line that says it's very expensive to buy a Lamborghini, but Chris Finch is going to learn Lamborghinis are fun to drive. I promise you, I did not think of that. I don't remember if Travis was working for us then, or I haven't asked him, or I know Henry edited everything anyway. It sounds like a Henry thing to me.
It does.
I just forgot to ask him. I know I didn't write it. People gave me the credit for it. It wasn't me, people. I never wrote anything I didn't do, but it's a brilliant line. Because what I wrote is they're going to contend for 4 years. And so they might be screwed in 2030.
Yep.
But
who cares? It won a title before
23, 24, 24, 25, 25. Yeah. They're built to win 55 plus games. How many did they win this year? Was it 54?
53, 54, something like that. Yeah. Right in that range.
So they're built to win a lot. And, they can bully you inside. With their bigs, Nez, especially Cat, inside out. And then they've got Ant. And I also wrote, obviously, it's a bet on Ant.
They're just long, David, and athletic. And so that's starting five with Connelly and Ant in the backcourt. McDaniels, who is just a monster defensively and is showing some offensive game. Cat, of course, we know. It seems like every time Cat takes a three, I'm like, oh, that shit's going in. And it does most of the time. and Rudy Gobert. It's just so much size all over the place. And it's... You always say the hardest thing to do in this league is score over size. And there's just arms everywhere. It just makes it difficult for you. And look, and they go to their bench, right? Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Naz Reid just mentioned. Not like they only play five guys. They rotate. And we talked about Denver's bench. Not looking so hot these days. And so if Murray...
No, that's not fair to say. They've had some good games, but not typically.
Yeah. And if Murray's calf is a thing, which it clearly is, and he said it, I'm just going to manage it. I go, well, what is it? What does just managing it mean? If you got a game every other day, if you're not explosive and you can't get by your guy and get your floater and you're not, and he's not, if he's not shooting well, David, this puts a lot of pressure on Jokic. And MPJ had a good game one, so he's going to have to, he's been a good player for them and playing two. It's going to have to be like, hey, Michael, really you got to be like how you were when you came out of high school. Is this like, ridiculous scoring machine because we need points from somewhere else on this roster. This is, I think it's going to be a long series and I'm fascinated by it.
I mean, it's, I was watching it this morning. I did not see the game live much because we had a big party for my daughter and four of her friends and I needed to be a dad. I wanted to go watch that game in the bar. we had like private, kind of a private entrance and there was a TV nearby. We did watch the Kentucky Derby earlier. That was fun. That was only 2 minutes, though.
Yeah,
I can take 2 minutes out of the party.
Right.
I think Denver, I think they're uncomfortable for the first time in 2 years now.
Yeah.
2 seasons. Yeah. This is, they could lose game two, and then it's really tough to win 4 or 5 against that team. Really tough. Yeah, I feel for Chris Finch not be able to stand up and do much. He's coaching, but it's
But he's what a fighter! He just had patellar tendon surgery, and he's like on the sidelines. Like, listen,
that's that's no joke. Yeah, it's like Steve Kerr watching Luke Walton win 18, 22, whatever straight games, whatever it was, remember in that year.
Yeah, he's like, I got to get back.
Yeah, but you can't rush that stuff. No, I think that Denver knows we have to really play well to win game two.
Yeah, because Denver's kind of been in this all season, David. This, we can turn it up when we have, I mean, it was the Lakers series, right? Down double digits against everybody. And it's like, okay, we'll just go. It's not going to work against these guys. There's a relentlessness to them. And especially because they can guard so well.
Offense. And they have
Yes. The thing we worried about offensively with them was, they don't value the basketball. They're turning it over too much. They haven't done it so far this postseason. And let's get to the Anthony Edwards of it all. We talked about him a little bit, but listen, I think you can't enough give this guy enough praise. We didn't know, because first of all, predicting the future is hard. Who can do that? And if we could, we'd be in a different business and be doing a lot better financially if we could actually predict the future. But his maturity, David, and that's the word, I keep using that word over and over. His game has matured in that it's not just about me gunning every time, and I can because I'm so athletic. But that's not what the game is requiring from me right now. Oh, three dudes. I know where the pass goes here. Like, I'm just like, the game's slowing down for him. And I'm like, shit, if it's slowing down for him and he's already an uber athlete and he's highly skilled, this is a guy who, and everybody's saying rightfully so, is a multi-time MVP candidate, like first team all NBA. This is that kind of dude. And when you have a player like that, he's special. He's shooting the piss out of the ball right now. I think he's averaging 35 or whatever on 67% true shooting. Trouble, David. A lot of trouble.
In my article about him coming out of the draft, coming into the draft, where I was really suspicious of his lack of winning and commitment to winning, I wrote that there's a lot of Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry in him. Because guys that athletic can't shoot the way he could shoot. And I feel really good about writing that because he's a very unique talent, very special talent. And he mentioned something in an interview I saw recently about how, like, he used to kind of be at odds with Chris Finch, and but Chris won, and he's all in now. And it's the same. It's the same lesson Pop gave Kawhi: when we call a play, it's not for you to score; it's for us to score. And he's bought into that for a couple of years now. And same as defensively, yeah. No, this dude, we're seeing it right before our eyes. Like, he's number one in the pick for a reason, and he's playing like it.
He, you know, the story is famous. It goes back to when the Wolves brought the Warriors brought him in for a workout because he's like, Wiseman class. And he thought, I'm working hard. And Steve Kerr's like, that's not hard work. Like, come over here and watch Steph work. That's hard work. And he had to get the realization of, oh shit, I think what I'm doing is hard work. And it's like, if I want to be what I can be, which is, I think the best in the league, you got to work like these people work, who are already the best in the league at this advanced age, whatever they are in their mid 30s, still continuing. And it's young people. They don't, that's why they're young. They don't know, but they learn.
No, I've got a young man coming. We're doing this show a little earlier today because I have a young man coming, high level, one of the best players in college next year, I think. And my son has just spent a week with them, week and a half with them. And so he and I had a chance to catch up over the weekend. And he said, his pace isn't what you're going to want. He's comfortable. His college coaches were great, but they just kind of coach at a certain pace. You got to keep the boy, kind of keep him happy, you know, can't let him leave.
Not your job. That's not what you're doing.
No. He knows. He's coming here right now. And I've got a few guys coming this week, actually. And the one that's coming later this week, who's also one of the best players in college, came last year. I can't say his name yet. I will one day. But he's a guard. And I said to him, you just can't dribble. And I really hammered him up. You're a guard, but you just can't really dribble. If you want to be an NBA player, rather, you can be a fine college player. And so I guess after two workouts, he was with my assistant and they went to go get lunch. And he's like, do you really think it's true that I really can't dribble the ball? And my assistant said, do you think Coach Thorpe was wrong? I don't know him to be wrong about stuff like that. Typically, he's like, probably not. Well, he had an amazing season this year. His handle is unrecognizable because he worked. And so I'm sure Chris Finch, just like what Steve Kerr said, challenged him and just coached him. That's like Chris. He's not an ass kisser that way.
Right.
He's a coach. He's an old school coach. I think that's really beneficial. And Anthony has absolutely embraced the truth. Mm-hmm. And now we get what joy do we get? He's 22, so we got a good decade. You know, unless he goes to play for Tibbs and runs around the league in five years.
Well,
we got a good decade of watching this dude just murder people, man.
And he, as you often say about those police kind of players, David, they want to be coached. They want you to help them. But the big thing is,
you have to be able to help them. You have to be able to help them.
And you have to earn their trust, right? If you earn their trust, and then it's gold, man. Then you're like, and that's what it seems like with Ant and Chris Finch. They have when Finch got hurt, they had Ant's like, I know, as soon as I'm done with you, I'm going to run back to the locker room and see what's up with him when he got hurt at the end of that Sun series.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
It's genuine there, right? There's just Ant also credited, by the way, his work with Team USA in the FIBA World Cup last summer to getting him better. And we always talk about this, and it's sort of everyone kind of passes it off haphazardly as like, oh, yeah, everybody goes Team USA, and like they work together and get better. And I'm like, guys, when you have like all around each other, and that phrase, iron sharpened irons, is there, and you have really the true guys who want to work and battle, that's how guys get better. Like, they watch the best players go, shit, how's this guy so good? Because look, I watch him every day. This is how he's doing it. And it's a beautiful thing. So kudos to Team USA and that incubator, that environment when those guys go. For the players that want to take something out of it, they do and get better because of it. It's really, really incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, so you said, I didn't even ask you about Pacers Knicks. Really quick, what's your prediction for that series?
I think Indiana's the more talented team. I think the mental toughness that you mentioned, home court advantage, just the relentlessness of the team being willing to give Brunson the ball. Mm-hmm. I think the Knicks are likely to win this series. I will tell you, though, I would not be shocked if Indiana won. I'll pick the Knicks, but
right.
Like, I would have been shocked if Milwaukee won the series.
I agree. Indiana.
I would not be shocked if Indiana win the series, but I would favor the Knicks.
Yeah.
I favor the Knicks.
That's what I favor the Knicks as well.
Yeah.
So look, it's 1-0 right now in the Minnesota-Denver series. You think Denver gets it back, draws even tonight, 1-1?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. I think Denver's in some trouble here.
I'll tell you what. I'll go on a limb. I'm not going to limb, whatever, because who cares? It's just guessing. If Denver goes down 0-2 to this team tonight, I don't think they come back, David.
I can't see
them winning 4 out of 5.
I can't either. I saw Jamal Murray had a better second half.
Mm-hmm.
Naz Reid did bank in that three.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that happen that make me think Denver can win the game for sure. But I don't like their bench. And I still probably would lean to Denver because of Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't disagree with you at all about what you were just saying, that they tonight definitely is a must win.
And because of the lack of bench, they're going to have to do the thing where one of, which they do anyway, but it's going to have to be like this all the time. One of Jokic and Moore are going to have to be on the floor at all times throughout. And the problem with that now is because of the cash strain on Murray, you are risking down the road what that means. Because again, I don't know, and I don't need to know what the situation is. But if the calf is a problem, it's not going to get better playing more NBA playoff basketball, right? So I that's a concern to me. So he shot better. That's good. He's going to have to regain his efficiency, David, and really be shooting well in this series. Because if he's doing a lot of those 3-for-13s, or they just don't have enough scoring. Against that team.
And it can't be a net negative on defense.
Well, yes, correct.
And that's a concern too, is that's a real concern. Like Damian Lillard was bad in that series on defense, and he tried a little bit here and there. But yeah, that's the calf is a worrisome thing.
Sure is.
And he's tough as nails, Jamal.
Oh, he's so tough.
Yeah.
You heard the story, right? So he warmed up before game five, and he's like, I don't even – I'm going out there with my guys. I don't care. Do whatever you got to do to make it work. I'm playing. So he seems like that kind of guy. So,
yeah,
you know, he's going to, as these players love to say, let me die out there, all that, you know, that's what they're going to do. They love it. And so I don't anticipate him not playing, you know, like, you know, and by the way, we didn't give him any process. Kudos to Embiid. Look, I think long-term was probably not great because probably, you know, he was definitely a hurt to them sometimes when he was out there, but what a mentality to battle in that series with clearly playing on one leg. I mean, the man was dragging one leg up the,
who,
up
Embiid?
The floor. Yeah. When he did play. So
amazing guy. Amazing player.
It is. I got to give him props for that. All right. Cavaliers Celtics. Look, right off the bat, the Celtics will advance here. I'm not really too concerned, but I do know the Cavs seem to, a lot of the announcers were like, oh, the Cavaliers found their defense. I was like, did they find their defense? Were they playing a really bad offensive team in Orlando? So I'm not 100% sold they found their defense. They were
We can be pretty sure that they didn't.
they were good for a while, anyway.
Jared Allen wasn't even there.
Correct. For a while during the season, they were good defensively. Then things started going haywire for them and started trending in the opposite direction. I don't know when Jared Allen's coming back, if he's coming back at all. David, I just don't think that they have enough to really bother the Celtics.
Yeah, there's not much to say here. The Cavs have done what they can do. If they get Jared Allen back, they can give some problems with Porzingis is out. Do we know for the whole series?
I don't know for the whole series, but so game one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it being too competitive. Boston has had plenty of time to heal, plenty of time to, like, a week to rest.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll take him for granted the way they did Miami a little bit in game two. Possible, but no, it should be Boston at 4 or 5.
Yeah.
These are not comparative teams.
No. I'm with you 100%. And look, that sets Boston up to get to the conference finals, and we'll see whoever emerges from that Knicks Pacers bloodbath. Whatever team comes out of there might be so dog tired that and worn down, Boston will be, we're going to grind them into dust, whatever's left, whoever comes out of that series. Maybe the most exciting, maybe not as exciting as Denver, Minnesota, but still an exciting series, Oklahoma City and the Dallas Mavericks. This one's interesting because, again, OKC is young, and I asked the question last week, are they just young and dumb enough to make it to the conference finals because they just don't know any better and they're going to do what they do? There's going to be some challenges in this series for them for sure. And for us, let's start here, David. The challenge of OKC dealing with the two-headed monster that is Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, they've OKC's got their hands full with those guys right now. Maybe Dort goes on Kyrie. He's the kind of guy that can give Kyrie problems. Mm-hmm. Because no one can guard Luka anyway. So right. Maybe you try Shea on him. It doesn't really matter. He can shoot over anybody.
Right.
Kleber's injury is a big
deal. Yes.
I would definitely pick Dallas if Kleber was healthy. Not that I think he's that good, but I just think it's going to be a close series and that would really matter. I don't know yet who I'm picking. I still might pick Dallas. Mm. Yeah, the Luka Kyrie, the way Kyrie's playing is just so marvelous. Really, it seems like Luka seems so happy with him. It's a drama-free Kyrie. We talked about this
really
before.
Is. He's just playing and, hoops.
Derek Jones Jr. is playing great. PJ Washington played well in round one. I thought very well. They're a legit team. We said that for a while. They've been number 7 in defense since March 1st. They were good in the playoffs against the Clippers after game one, especially. This is a real test for OKC. They may be sober. There may not be a lot of barking. They may sober up pretty quickly.
Yeah. So let's get to the OKC side of things. New Orleans was compromised. But as I said, you don't apologize for who you play. You play or you play and you beat them, and it's what it is. This will present a different challenge, and they're going to have to make shots. They were shooting threes and doing whatever and barking and all that. SGA's efficiency is going to have to get better in this series. I don't know that it necessarily does. It could. You know, Jalen Williams played well. He's going to have to shoot threes consistently as well and get off the bounce and get to the rim.
Yeah, very much so.
Does he? I don't know. And for Chet, David, so these are all like, you know, musings and then question for you to ponder on. For Chet, look, we love Jonas Valanciunas. He's a monster of a human being. But that is a different proposition playing him than Gafford, Lively, right, and PJ and what they do in Dallas. So Chet's going to have a different level of work he has to deal with. And he's young and doesn't know, you know, and is dealing with this for the first time. But doesn't mean they can't win. It just means that was one kind of chess match in round one. Well, this is a different kind now. And I'm curious to see how they respond to this.
The lob threat is really hard when you've got finishers like Luka and Kyrie. It's not as hard when you don't. You can just always take the lob away and never think twice about it. Those two guys can really get rolling, playing downhill. Fouling them, making those floaters. Mm-hmm. It's Chet's going to have that cat and mouse game that Rudy played so well in game one against Denver with. It's going to be very hard as to what to commit to, what to take away. I think their coach is great, and I think that they'll pressure Dallas and try to get in lanes and up, you know, take the tempo up higher, which is something Dallas likes to play fast somewhat. A lot of deflections. That's what they're hoping for. But I don't know if they can unnerve Dallas. Those two guys are just so good.
They are.
Do we know if Hardaway Jr. is back?
No, I don't think so.
He did not play that last couple games, at least. Dallas' depth is a concern. Omax Prosper's out as a rookie, but he was, to me, a very impressive rookie. Mm-hmm. And I think he's out for the entire series. He hurt his ankle in the previous series at a practice, actually. And without Kleber, that's a big deal. They're just a shorter man.
Mm-hmm. So, Hardaway out, not playing. I just looked it up. Look, the other thing too, you mentioned, and I was just thinking about this with obviously Luka. I mean, foul trouble is going to be so key. Thorpe's rule number one, don't fucking foul. The Thunder defend without, I mean, and Luka's still hard to guard without fouling. Like it really, and young teams, even though they're very well dispositioned defensively, as you often, they're like puppies. They yip and jump and like get right because they're excited. And it's like, don't want to do that against this dude. Not good.
Right.
You got to be, or against Kyrie, you got to be really disciplined. And we're going to test their discipline, how well disciplined they are. And we'll see. It's going to be a tough matchup. But I think, like, I don't think it's going to be a steamroll for either side, either way. I think it goes long.
No, it's a super. I think 3 of the 4 series are great. I think Indiana, New York has a chance to be a great series. It's contrasting styles. There's no question the other two are really, really good. You know, Denver, Minnesota obviously looks like it's the defending champs. It's Ann Edwards. Mm-hmm. And then this series, too, is like we could have 3 7-game series. We really could. Yeah, we really could.
You know who'd love that? Boston. Let us get a 4-game sweep, please. You guys go 7 and beat the piss out of each other. All of you. We love it.
A couple overtime games.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know how OKC solves Luka and Kyrie, but I don't know that they can't overwhelm them with the totality of what they have. They have to shoot well. OKC does. I don't think they get nothing but buckets. They drive a lot to create those shots. Dallas is built pretty good to make it tougher in the paint with those lively bigs. And they can extend their defense some. And they just beat Kyle George and James Harden aren't bad.
No.
And they beat them pretty good. So I think Dallas comes in on a high note. The Kleber thing keeps nagging at me.
Okay. One of the things that OKC has over a lot of people is their youth and their athleticism, right? Like they're just young and fast and jumpy on the wings. Can they out-athlete the Mavericks? Or no, yeah. Because, okay.
I mean, they can. Yeah, they can. It doesn't mean they will. They can. If they end up playing fast enough to bother Dallas, Dallas will try to slow it down. So maybe get exactly what they want with Luka and Kyrie. I think Kyrie's got to apply himself early. Don't wait. I don't think it's smart to wait too much. The market fair is lower against this team. Mm-hmm. It's a very well-coached team, OKC.
Yeah.
Very well-coached. So, it's when your series is betting on Kleber, it's an issue. But he does provide some rim protection with three-point shooting, that's valuable.
For sure. Oh, this is exciting stuff. Very, very curious to watch. All right, just some quick news and notes around the league. The Lakers fired Darvin Ham. No surprise there. I mean, look, doesn't really matter who their next coach is. I mean, I'm probably going to get a retread. Well, there is noise going around that because LeBron and JJ have this podcast, that JJ is the next, he's going to be a name that's thrown around. And ultimately, as we said on our call this morning, well, it's whatever LeBron runs, right? Like, if he's there, whoever LeBron wants as head coach is who they're going to bring in. And not sure that's the wisest move of all to make, but we'll see. We'll see what they do going forward. And then Jordy Fernandez got named head coach of the Brooklyn Nets from Sacramento. He's also the head coach of Team Canada. That'll be interesting to see what Brooklyn does going forward with their situation in terms of staff and coaching and building everything out. They got some picks back in return. They got young pieces. They got to decide they're going to pay Claxton this summer. Some choices, right? Or they want to wallow in mediocrity or like legit tear down to the studs, rebuild, and get this thing going. I don't know, but that's why these guys get paid millions of dollars to figure it out. All right, everybody, enjoy the playoffs tonight, and we will see you later in the week. Take care.